This is Brian Oakes, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Erskine, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear reports from Whitney Pittman and Sierra Doctor. Well, on a vote of 63-36, the U.S. Senate passed the wide-ranging debt ceiling bill last evening. The legislation suspends the $31.4 trillion debt ceiling while cutting federal spending. That measure now goes to the White House for President Biden's signature, with just days to spare before Monday's deadline when the Treasury Department said the government would run out of money to pay its bills. Scattered rain and thunderstorms occurred across the region again last evening. They were widely variable. The end-on station at Eldred, Minnesota, which is southwest of Crookston, picked up 2.04 inches of rain, while the end-on station a little further south at Ada received only 3/100ths of an inch. East of Warroad, Williams, Minnesota, received 1.03 inches. On the North Dakota side, Fargo, Grand Forks at 1,200ths, Cooperstown 8,500ths, Hedinger at 6,900ths. Nicole Wardner has been named the new executive director of the North Dakota Beef Commission after serving as its consumer marketing and industry relations specialist. Wardner will fill the role of executive director following Nancy Jo Bateman's retirement after 38 years. Wardner also spent time after graduating from South Dakota State University as a farm broadcaster at the Red River Farm Network. Well, wind and heat are starting to cause issues for some farmers. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has that story.
Grasshopper pressure is already starting to become an issue for growers in FMC Technical Service Manager Ryan Hunt's area. Impacts from the pests can be devastating.
Once they start coming in, they can wipe out a field, and depending on the crop, you know, like say for instance, flax growers, once that flax starts putting the bolls on, they just come and clip the bolls right off, which is where all your seed is, or, you know, they'll strip a wheat field down of all the leaves, or even soybeans, sunflowers. I mean, they can really wipe out a field when we get them into the levels that we've had the past 2 years, especially out in the western part of North Dakota and South Dakota and out into that Montana area. They can just almost look like a lawnmower came through. The big thing is staying ahead of them before they get so big that they overtake your entire field.
It's important to stay ahead of the problem. Hunt says there are safe products available for management.
There's plenty of insecticide options out there that'll kill what's there. We have a product called Vantacor insecticide. It's a super low use rate. It's really only 0.7 of an ounce per acre. And you're going to get a couple weeks of residual with it on these grasshoppers. And it's very safe. So if your reentry level interval is only 4 hours for workers and people, the real nice thing is it's labeled on pretty much every crop, too. You can go out right now and where these hoppers are just kind of in your field margins and the grassy areas, you can go and border those fields in those areas, take out this early hatch, and not have to worry so much till later on.
Hunt says when spraying Vantacor, there needs to be enough leaf tissue present for the grasshoppers to ingest the insecticide. Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
57% of the nation's pasture and rangeland conditions are rating fair to very poor. It is an improvement from 63% last week. For the upper Midwest, conditions are above average. Minnesota rates 65% good. North Dakota pastures rate 55% good and 32% fair. South Dakota's rangeland rates 45% fair and 26% good. Early in the growing season, diseases can have an impact on pulse crops. NDSU Extension plant pathologist Audrey Kalile says it's especially important to be scouting fields right now.
As you reach that mid-vegetative growth stage, it's really important to be scouting the crop. As we go later into the summer, it becomes hot and dry, you know, rainfall is less frequent, we're less concerned about the spread of disease. But right now, to that mid-July time frame, we really need to be scouting as we get these frequent rainfall events.
Chickpea growers need to keep an eye out for fungal diseases.
If you're growing chickpeas, it's going to be really important to be scouting for Ascochyta blight. many producers who are have been growing this crop for many years, you know, they'll put on a fungicide application at the R1 growth stage. If you see significant symptoms of Ascochyta blight earlier than that, it would be important to get that fungicide application on as soon as possible.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Farmers making good planting progress in north central North Dakota. Dakota Agronomy Partners Newberg location agronomist Ethan Hahn says much of that crop is already in the ground.
Yeah, things have been pretty good. We have seen some spotty rains. It's been pretty hot temperatures over the last week or two. Brewed up a few storms, but I'd say for the most part, some guys are done, and some are getting close to being done here too. I'd say the next few days to a week would be wrapping up with everyone for the majority of it.
Hahn would welcome a good soaking rain.
We'll dry in some areas, hope for some rains, and things that should be good this year. So who knows, maybe this hot weather will brew some more stuff up. So top 2 inches crust were getting pretty bad in some areas. Guys said that there were some troubles with seeding. A lot of dust was flying there for a while, but these spotty rains have hit some areas and helped guys out, and some guys are still waiting, so we'll see how it turns out.
The Red River Farm Network was in Robinson, North Dakota yesterday for its Pioneer Agronomy Update. Sierra Doctor has an update from Pioneer Sales Associate Mike Hagan.
Mike, tell me a little bit about this particular field.
Yeah, so this field is planted with a 8859, one of the newer 80-day corns for Pioneer. We actually planted it on the 5th of May, and up along this tree grove up here, there was still corn, or still snow on the right on the side of the trees. We've gotten pretty good rain in here in the last few weeks. We've had a little over 2 inches the last couple of days, and then with that came some hail, as Larry said. All in all, it's looking really good. Should be well over knee high by the 4th of July. We're thinking probably close to waist or chest high. Yeah, we're pretty happy with it.
Yeah, and I mean, there's still pretty good moisture here. Around the ground's still pretty salt, at least got some moisture on it.
Yeah, well, in the last about 10 days, we've had over 6 inches of rain here. Well, 2 weeks has been about 6 inches. And so we're in a good position other than where it's drowned it out. Where it's on the hilltop stuff, it'll do good. The low areas, we had a little bit of drowned out corn. But the rest of the field should do really well.
Yeah. As far as, you know, weed control, we've been talking about that, but for this particular field, what's kind of your game plan?
We've already sprayed it once, and we might have to come back in later on after this rain, you know, spray it down again. Other than that, hopefully a canopy's over and the weeds kind of just die out on their own.
Yeah. As far as some of your other fields, how did planting go for you? When did you wrap up?
Yeah, so we're just kind of finishing up. We had started the corn and beans pretty much all at the same time. It was a big push working well into the morning hours to get beans treated. We finished up with corns and beans. Probably, there's still a few guys doing it, but probably this last few days, 3-4 days ago. Now there's guys into sunflowers, and we'll be getting into some sorghum on the wetter ground here in the next week.
Alrighty. So planting progress still progressing really well around the area.
Yep.
All right, very good. This is a Pioneer Agronomy Update. I'm Sierra Doctor, joining me here with Larry Lunder, field agronomist, and Pioneer Seeds sales associate Mike Hagans. Reporting agriculture's business, I'm Sierra Doctor, here on the Red River Farm Network.
North Star Commodity Chief Analyst Mark Schultz says we are seeing a weather-driven grain market with traders reacting to every forecast.
You look around, and right now the forecast hinting towards a warmer, drier weather pattern still hanging on for the vast majority of the Midwest up until about the 10th of June. Then we're likely to get some type of a weather change. Well, I would suggest that weather change had better happen, because if it doesn't, then you're likely to start seeing some problems start to develop.
Schultz says right now it's way too early for a weather scare.
But the fact that it continues to push it back on the moisture, and the fact that the rains that do come across are just little popcorn garden variety shots. Again, like last night, you maybe get 10% of the corn area and soybean area in this country that picked up some rain. The rest, everybody else kind of misses out, and we kind of built from there. And keep in mind, we've had a very big sell-off in these markets, so it can easily start coming back here a little bit more.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Well, coming up on Friday, June 9th, producers can learn about growing and developing markets for Minnesota oilseeds in Crookston. AURI Business Development Director Alexandria Deemer says biofuel development is causing shifts in oilseed demand.
Regenerative maybe is the buzzword of the day, but that is kind of the main driver for ramping up the supply of oilseed feedstocks. But there's a lot happening in the marketplace that's shifting because of that as well. So as certain crops might be pulled into fuels, others might take their place for the food or fiber applications that are being developed. And AURI works kind of across the spectrum of all of these, both established and emerging crops. So what we try to do is, with our applied science and business development teams, help to characterize and develop potential utilization opportunities for these crops.
The event will focus on marketing opportunities and discuss challenges with stakeholders.
This is really an opportunity for audience members to engage with oilseed industry stakeholders. So we're not planning a typical, you know, field day where you're going to be out looking at crops in the field and thinking about how to produce them. We're really going post-production and thinking through the supply chain from the ingredient standpoint all the way through end use. Our audience will be able to engage with those oilseed industry stakeholders to learn more about the challenges we've started to talk about here. What are the impacts and shifts in the marketplace and the potential utilization opportunities? That's really kind of the big picture of what we're hoping to do at our event.
To register for that in-person and virtual event, or to find out more information, you can visit auri.org events page. Weekly report from the Energy Information Administration shows ethanol production for the week ending May 26, just over 1 million barrels per day, 1.004. That's 20,000 barrels more than the previous week, but it is 67,000 barrels per day less than the same week last year. Ethanol stocks increased 300,000 barrels to 22.3 million barrels. Checking markets before we leave you this morning. July wheat, Minneapolis is up a half. September's up two. Chicago July wheat down a quarter. Kansas City July wheat down 2.5. July corn now down 9.75 cents. December's down 4. July soybeans are down 5.75. November down 2.5. And July canola trading 20 cents a metric ton higher. Checking the farm calendar this morning. The North Dakota Stockmen's Association Spring Roundup in Fort Yates this afternoon and evening. The North Dakota Junior Angus Field Day today and tomorrow at Carrington. Breakfast on the Farm tomorrow at Holly, Minnesota. And the North Dakota Junior Red Angus Field Day at Streeter on the 3rd and 4th. Coming up on the 5th, the Stockman Spring Roundup at Leeds. And June 5th through the 8th, the North Dakota State FFA Convention in Fargo. Well, thanks for joining us this morning. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.